Morning. It's good to be with you this morning. If you haven't met me, I'm Hamish, one of the assistant ministers here. It's my joy and privilege to be preaching from this part of God's Word. I would encourage you to keep that passage open. We'll be going through it. And if you're someone who likes to take notes, on the back of your bulletin, there is an outline where you can take notes. On the afternoon of February 22nd, 2011, the city of Christchurch was struck by a 6.3 magnitude earthquake. Within seconds, the city centre was a landscape of twisted steel and collapsed concrete. Now, if you remember this, the immediate noise would have been deafening, right? Alarms would have been going off, sirens, shouting of thousands. It was a city in shock. But in the days that followed, there was this specific ritual that began at most of the damaged sites. What would happen is every few hours, rescue teams would blow a whistle and the signal would be for total silence. The cranes would stop, the generators were cut out, thousands held their breath. In a city buried under millions and millions of tons of rubble, the rescue workers weren't looking at the big picture. They were listening for a signal, maybe the faint scratch of someone scratching a pipe, or rhythmic tap on concrete, or maybe even a muffled cry from deep within the debris. To the rest of the world, for us, those sounds would just be junk, right? Meaningless background noise. But to the rescue worker, that was the sound, the only thing that mattered, because it told them that there is life here. So stop everything, we're going in. Now, 2,000 years ago, on a road outside Jericho, the noise would have been the same. It would have been deafening. A massive crowd was heading towards a religious festival in Jerusalem, and in the middle of the jostling and the shouting was this muffled cry from the side of the road. To the crowd, this man was just background noise, an interruption to their special day. And now most of us walk into this room maybe feeling buried under the rubble of our own lives, maybe our stresses, our past failures, or even our blind spots. Or maybe you feel like background noise in a world that is moving too fast. But today, what I want us to see is a person who stops trying to fix his own life, and he finally calls to the only one who can actually rescue him. Because the reality of a rescue is that the signal has to be louder than the noise. So if this man, Bartimaeus, if he had stayed silent or he listened to those who were telling him to stay in his place, he would have stayed there in the dirt. But what we'll see firstly is faith in the King isn't passive. It doesn't just wait for an invitation. The faithful seek the merciful King. From verse 46, read with me. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. What we see here is Mark is setting a contrast. So we see on the one hand, we have the success of the movement, right? We've got the disciples, we've got Jesus, we've got this large crowd, they're heading towards Jerusalem, they're moving out of Jericho to go and celebrate Passover. But then on the other hand, we have this man called Bartimaeus. And he's just sitting there. He's stationary. And we find out some things about him. He's a blind man. He's a beggar. And we also know he's from the family of Timaeus. And in first century Israel, these weren't just descriptions. They were potentially a death sentence to your social standing, right? Because beggars, they would cast aside. They were unimportant, they were marginalised, sidelined, and completely dependent on the mercy of others. Now, if you've ever had the experience of walking through a major city, and maybe you felt that awkward urge to maybe look away when you see someone begging on the side of the road, well, you understand this wall, this barrier, right, between the crowd and Bartimaeus. He is someone you would walk past, not walk to. But Bartimaeus, he isn't an ordinary blind beggar. We see when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many warned him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Notice here the signal is starting to rise above the noise. Bartimaeus, he cannot see, but he hears the commotion, right? And the moment he hears Jesus of Nazareth, what does he do? He doesn't just ask for a coin. He cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." This blind beggar, even though he couldn't physically see him, hears Jesus walks by. He cries out to him. And this is a significant moment in Gospel of Mark, because up until this point, Jesus' identity has remained a bit of a secret. Only his disciples really knew who he was, and they still didn't get who he was. But here, a blind beggar on the outskirts of Jericho becomes the first person to publicly call him by his royal title, Son of David. And significantly, this is the first time in Mark's gospel that Jesus is publicly addressed with this title. Bartimaeus isn't saying that Jesus is a good teacher. No, he's declaring that he is the Messiah, the promised king from the line of David. He has arrived. He's seeing Jesus not just as miracle worker, but as that merciful king. And he's echoing those cries of the afflicted that we see in the Psalms, of those who are crying out for God to rescue them. And so what Bartimaeus is doing is he's realized that what Jesus is bringing is not a different government or better economy. He's seeing that he is needed for healing and wholeness that only God's king can bring. But look at how the crowd responds. They don't celebrate this faith. What do? They want to keep him quiet. Remember, these are people who are going to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, which would have been the biggest celebration in the Jewish calendar, the time when people would celebrate that God rescued them. They're singing songs and hymns about his rescue, yet they're trying to silence a man who's actually calling out to God's king for rescue. Why? Because to them, Bartimaeus was an embarrassment. He was messy. He was an interruption to their orderly parade. I think sometimes we as a church, we can become like that, become that wall. Maybe we become used to our order of service, a way of doing things here, or maybe even our comfortable seats, that we start to see the desperate, messy cries of the broken as a distraction. And maybe we start acting like Jesus' security guards rather than his welcomers. But maybe there's some of us here today on the other side of the wall. Maybe you feel like the outsider being pushed back by the crowds. You've been told to be silent, maybe by people or by even yourself, because you believe that you aren't ready or important. Maybe you feel silent by your past, by your failures. Maybe your level of education, your ailments, your background. And so you're worried, well, if I really cry to Jesus, we'll be told to be quiet. Well, I want to encourage us all by looking at how Bartimaeus responds. He didn't wait for the crowd's permission. He cried out all the more. So I want to say to us, to faithfully keep seeking the King, it means we refuse to let the noise of the world that tells us to be silent, we refuse that so the cry of the helpless may be heard. We refuse to let the noise of the world drown out the cry of the broken, of the helpless. And when we keep faithfully seeking this King, well, the faithful are saved by the merciful King. The faithful are saved by the merciful King. Listen to these two words from verse 49. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Pause on those two words for a moment. This King Jesus, who is on a march to Jerusalem, as we saw, is a place where he will pay the debt for all humanity, stops. The King who has the weight of the coming cross on his shoulders, stops. Why? Because the signal from the rubble has reached his ears. The crowds want him to move on. that the king wanted to move in. And so he tells the crowd to call him over. And you see that the atmosphere shifts, that the human wall suddenly becomes the door for the man. They tell him, have courage, get up, he's calling you. Now, on one level, right, this invitation, this call for Bartimaeus to come to Jesus, it may look like just a simple invitation to come forward. But this call isn't just simply a call. The one who's calling him is Jesus, the merciful King, who's asking him, inviting him to join him on the way. He's saying to him that you're not a nuisance, you're my neighbor. You're not an outsider anymore, you're the insider. And so when this king, when he invites, there is always a response. We see that Bartimaeus, he threw off his coat, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. Now we shouldn't move too fast away from the cloak, him throwing this cloak off. For us, right, a coat is just an accessory. We need it today. It's a very cold day and we need our coat today. But when it's warm, we take it off. And maybe even some of us have the luxury of having multiple coats that we can rotate on use. But for Bartimaeus, the cloak was his entire life. It was his bed, his only protection from the cold, and even the bucket he would have used to lay on the ground to catch the coins. It was the thing that defined him. So when Bartimaeus, he throws off his cloak, he is performing this miracle of faith. He's trusting Jesus before he even gets his sight. He's saying to Jesus, well, I don't need that identity, that beggar identity anymore. I don't need my old safety net. If you are the king, if you are calling me, well, my old life is done. It's over. And in response to Bartimaeus, Jesus asks this question that almost seems absurd. What do you want me to do for you? He says. What do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus isn't being thick here, right? He knows what he's asking for. But when Jesus asks a question, what he's doing here is he's actually testing the heart of the one who comes to him. And actually, only a few verses earlier, Jesus asked this exact same question to his disciples, James and John, in response to their request. And you remember, what did they ask for? Power and glory, right? They wanted Jesus to give us the best seats in the kingdom. They wanted to be great like Jesus, the greatest. But we see in contrast with Bartimaeus, he calls him Rabboni. And this word, this Aramaic word, it connotes this deep personal submission to Jesus. It's another way of saying my master, my Lord. Now imagine if you are driving and you get hopelessly lost. Imagine you have to pull over and you ask a stranger for directions, right? So you can get back on the road to be in control of your own car. Now the thing is, this is what many of us can do with Jesus. We want directions, maybe for our finances or tips for our marriage or how to care for our kids. But the thing is, we want to stay in control. We want to stay in the driver's seat. So we just use Jesus as, say, our Google Maps, our GPS. But Bartimaeus, unlike James and John, he knew he wasn't just lost. He didn't ask him for power and glory because he knew he was utterly helpless. He didn't need directions for his old life. He needed a new life. And so he is handing over his keys to Jesus. He's entrusting himself to him, saying, I want to see. That's it. I want to see. And hear how Jesus responds. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has saved you. Go, your faith has saved you. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that Bartimaeus' good behavior or his social status has saved him. No, he says, your faith. His humble, dependent trust on Jesus, on his King, is what has saved him. And what this highlights is that Jesus didn't just fix a physical problem on the side of the road. This word of saving is just another way of saying it could mean healed or made well, right? He's saying that he hasn't just come to fix a problem, he's come to rescue a soul and give him true sight, to truly see who he is. Because true sight isn't just being able to see the dirt on the rose, no, it's being able to see the Saviour who stopped for you. The merciful king didn't just want to patch up Bartimaeus' old life, he wanted to give him a whole new one. And so I want to ask us today, are we coming today looking for a fix from Jesus? Or are we looking for a rescue? Are we bringing Jesus the broken parts of our week whilst keeping the keys in our pockets in our own lives? Because Jesus, the merciful King, he's not just a cosmic mechanic. He is the Saviour. He is the King of the universe. And he doesn't want to just give us our old lives and make them better. He wants us to give us new, true life. A new, true sight. To see him for who he is. And so, friends, how are we to respond to this? The faithful follow the merciful King. The faithful follow the merciful King. We see here that Jesus, he gives Bartimaeus his sight, and what's he telling him? He tells him to go. And now this would be the moment where the story would end, right? Bartimaeus, maybe he's gone back, he goes back to Jericho, he sees his family, maybe goes for a tour around Jericho, which he's never seen before, right? He's got freedom, he can do what he wants, but having truly seen the King, Bartimaeus realized there is only one direction worth walking. Immediately he could see, and what did he do? He began to follow Jesus on the road. He didn't just want a miracle from the King, he wanted to be with and follow the King. And remember, friends, where this road is going. Jesus wasn't heading towards a victory parade. He wasn't heading towards a golden throne. He is heading toward a crown of thorns and a cross. So when Bartimaeus joined the King on the road, he was joining this march towards the cross. He received his sight just in time to watch his merciful King lay down his life when mercy was paid in full. And it's also important to see here that what Bartimaeus does in this single moment is what the professionals, what we would call the disciples, had been struggling to do for years. Unlike the rich son ruler who we saw a couple of weeks ago, what he couldn't do, Bartimaeus does in a moment. He left his everything to serve the King. He's actually the living, breathing example of what we see in Mark 8:34, where Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And now to understand this shift that is going on here, imagine you are hiking on a dangerous trail and a thick fog starts to roll in, right? Imagine this. And within seconds, what happens is you can't see 3 feet in front of you, and actually you're on a cliff edge and you can't even see that. And now in this moment, you have two choices, right? You've got a map in front of you, you keep following the map. Or there is also a guide you could go to. Now, friends, if you choose the map, right, you can keep looking at the lines on the paper, but we're trying to stay in control. But the thing is, even though you keep looking at the map, you can't see it, and actually you're just walking blindly. But if we choose the guide, well, mate, this guide tells you, put that map away. Just look at my footsteps here. Step exactly where they go. Step exactly where I step. Because, friends, being a faithful follower of Jesus is that shift. We're moving away from the map of our own plans, of controlling our own lives, and turning to the guide, following Jesus' footsteps. And so what this looks like is a couple of things, I think. I think it looks like leaving that cloak behind, right? Because to survive a fog, when you're on that mountain, you need to drop the gear, right? You need to drop that extra gear that is weighing you down. For Bartimaeus, that thing that was weighing him down was his identity as a beggar, his cloak. And so I want to ask us this morning, well, what is that cloak for us? What is that we are using for our own security rather than trusting Jesus and following him wholeheartedly? Is it our reputation at work, with our friends and family? Is it a past hurt that we've wrapped ourselves in? Is it a safe relationship that is holding us back from truly following Jesus? What I want us to hear today is that we cannot follow Jesus, the King, and stay exactly where we are. We can't do that. That doesn't work. We need to drop the gear. We need to leave the cloak behind and follow the King. So friends, leave the cloak behind and follow the King. But also, I think we need to get our priorities ordered. Because when we follow the guide in a fog, right, we stop worrying about the big picture, right? We stop worrying about where we're heading. We actually just focus on the next step, step after step. Now, when Bartimaeus joined Jesus on the road, he didn't ask Jesus for an itinerary. He didn't ask him where he was going. He just followed him. He trusted him. And so, likewise for us, this means that we follow the King and we listen to his words. We listen to where he is going because his words are the final words. So when Jesus says, when the King says, forgive, well then that means we stop waiting for that apology. We drop that grudge and we forgive as Jesus has forgiven us. Or when he says, seek the kingdom first, seek it first, we stop obsessing over our status. And instead we start serving our neighbor as Jesus has served us, as the King has served us. We stop negotiating the route and we start obeying and following the King. So friends, let's leave the cloak behind. Let's get our priorities ordered with the King. But also let's stay on the road with the King. Let's stay on the road with the King. Because the thing is, right, it's easy to follow the King. It's easy to follow God when the sun is out, there's no wind howling, the crowd is cheering you on. It's so easy to follow. It's much harder when that wind is howling, when the road leads to suffering, leads to mockery, leads to sacrifice. Faithful following means you don't unplug from Jesus. You don't pause your faith when life gets difficult, when the wind is howling, when people are mocking you, when the world mocks you. What we do, friends, is we stay on the road with Jesus because the King has already walked that path. He's already walked that road for us. And he is with us, friends, each step of the way. So, friends, stay on the road with him. As we've seen today that Bartimaeus, where did he start? He started on the dirt, on the side of the road. And where did he end? On the road following the King. Now, the crowd, they told him to be quiet, but he cried out anyway, didn't he? The world told him to stay in his place, but he jumped in. Now, friends, remember that whistle that in the rubble of Christchurch. The silence was so the rescue workers could find the signal and pull the survivor to safety. Now, in Jericho, we saw that Jesus, he blew that same whistle. He silenced the crowds because he heard the cry. He heard the signal in the dirt. But the difference here is, in a physical rescue, once you are rescued, once you are found, right, you're carried away on a stretcher and you're looked after. But in the kingdom of God, when Jesus rescues you, he doesn't just leave you on the stretcher. He puts you on the road with him. And friends, that is the same merciful King that is standing in front of us this morning. The King that's not offering us a fix or a map, but the King who has come to rescue us, to rescue our soul from the rubble and invite him to join his mission. So friends, this morning, I want to ask you, will you stay beside the road? Or will you trust and follow the King on it? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your merciful King Jesus. Thank you that he calls us from the rubble to trust you and to follow you. Help us to trust and follow you, Lord Jesus, especially when life gets difficult, when it gets hard, when the crowds are trying to silence us. Help us to follow you, to leave our cloaks behind. And thank you that you have walked the path before us and you are with us. Pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to now stand.